Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, have you heard about Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave? There are verses in the Holy Quran regarding that, and the history books narrate the incident of Ashab al-Kahf. Now, today we're going to, in this show, look at if it's at all possible for that incident of the people of the cave to be corroborated with present-day science. Because some say that it's not possible, it's humanly not possible that it is, okay? It is possible that some people might harbor skepticism regarding the protracted sleep of the people of the cave, which had extended for years, and consider it to be incompatible with scientific standards, and thus look upon it as a myth or legend. So there are a few points in this regard that we need to discuss before we can look at how compatible it is with science or not. Okay, the first is such a long life, and these are their objections. Such a long life of several hundred years is unlikely for those who are awake, let alone those who are in the state of sleep. So if you were to stay awake and you were to stay alive, you need food, you need like so many other things, you need water. And these people, they were not even awake, they were sleeping. Okay, so how could they stay alive for all those years? Secondly, even if we were to accept the possibility of such a long life for one who is awake, it would be inconceivable for one who is asleep. This is because, in this case, the issue of food and nutrition comes to the fore. How is it possible for a person to remain alive for such a long period without food and water? If supposedly we were to assume to need 1 kilo of food and 1 liter of water per day, more than 100 tons of food and 100,000 liters of water would be required for the life of Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave. And storing this quantity of food and water within the body is impossible for this extended period of time. Now, the third objection that they have is, even if we were to look at all these, yet the problem is, which surfaces is that the stationing of a body under monotonous conditions for such a lengthy period of time harms its physical organism and causes great wastages. Okay, so at first glance, these objections, like for instance, this third one, you know, if you don't move your body parts for, let's say, days and months and years, right, they stop functioning. There's eroding, there's all kinds of issues that happen with your muscles, with your bones, with your joints, right? And we are arguing here that no, they're still healthy, right? Now, these objections that those who don't believe in the story and they call it a myth, they believe in, at first glance, these objections sound legit. But the reality in this case is contrary to that. And we're going to inspect that after the break. We will try to, inshallah, give answer to their objections in a logical manner, which is compatible with science, inshallah. Thank you for listening. We'll be back after a short break.
The People of the Cave, in the words of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is the building of shrines, mausoleums, and domes accepted in Islam? Is it found in the Holy Quran and within the teachings of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his Sunnah? Of course, an investigation in the Holy Quran, reflection on the authentic narrations of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and his holy progeny, reveals an important fact. It is indeed part of Sharia. It is acceptable and indeed highly recommended to build shrines in order to revere and to respect and to visit the graves of the deceased, who are important individuals in history and indeed get us closer to the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala and strengthen our faith. Evidence number one, chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the story of the youth who fled in order to worship him, who ran away from the king of their time. And the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go through a prolonged period of sleep, 300 plus 9 years according to the Holy Quran. When they eventually woke up, they found that they had been away for such a long time. They prayed to God that they wished to leave this life, and they died. The people of the time found them all in that particular place, that cave. The Quran says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We find that there was a discussion that took place. People thought, what should we do with their bodies? We want them to be remembered. These were special people. And so they went through a miracle, and they must be honored. And Allah says, amongst the people, the community, the prevalent outcome was that we should build a mosque on top of where they are buried. In other words, the graves next to a particular mosque where Allah, the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala, is indeed worshipped. This is clear evidence, as the Quran does not mention anything and remains silent other than the fact that it should be done. It is recommended, and at the very least, it is indeed acceptable, since it's the constitution for the well-being, and it is the path for the human beings to follow in order to attain God's pleasure. The fact that the shrine was built on exactly the location of the graves demonstrates an important reality, that the building of mausoleums, of dharihs, of these places whereby people come to visit and remember those who've passed away, is firmly established within Islamic Sharia law and teachings. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. You can say it once or 100 times or more, you'll feel at peace inside and it'll open every door.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So in this show, we're talking about the Ashabi Kaf, the people of the cave, who have been alive for hundreds of years in the cave without food, water, anything, and any mobility, right? And we claim that the story is not a myth, it's a reality. The objections are, they seemingly sound legit, but we're going to inspect them in the light of two major points. Well, firstly, the issue of a lengthy life is not one that is unscientific. For we are aware that according to science, the lifespan of no living entity possesses fixed and stipulated standards, such that when the moment that is reached, death is inevitable. In other words, while it is true that the physical strengths of man are finite and limited, this does not mean that the body of a man or another living entity does not possess the strength and ability to live longer than what is normal. It does not mean that just as water begins to boil when its temperature is raised to 100 degrees and turns to ice when it is lowered to zero, man likewise, when he reaches the age of 100 or 150 years, his heart necessarily ceases to function and he dies. That's not the case. Rather, the lifespan of a living entity is related to the state of their lives and is completely changeable by altering the lifestyle. A living testimony for this is that on the one hand, none of the scientists of the world have set a definite scale for the life of a man, while on the other, in the laboratories, they have been successful to occasionally increase the longevity of living entities twofold or even several times, and at times increasing it 12 times over. We have seen it in scientific experiments, in the laboratories, when you have the controlled environment, the controlled temperatures, and so on and so forth, they can increase the lifespan of a living being. They even assure us that in the future, by means of new scientific techniques, the lifespan of man would increase several times more than his present one. The above discussion was in connection with the basic issue of longevity of a human life. So what we are saying here is that it is very much possible, and there's no need to refute the entire story of Ashab-e Kahf because we assume that nobody can live that longer. Secondly, as far as the issue of food and water during the prolonged sleep is concerned, had this been an ordinary and normal sleep, we would have accepted the objection, for then the issue would have been incompatible with the basic scientific principles. This is because, despite the fact that the metabolic activity of the body in a state of sleep is much slower than during wakefulness, however, collectively and over several years, it would be very great. However, it must be realized that in the world of nature, there exist certain states of sleep in which food consumption is extremely trivial, such as hibernation. We know that there are certain animals who hibernate. There are numerous animals which sleep all through the winter and undergo what is scientifically referred to as hibernation. In connection with the issue of freezing the body of animals and even man for lengthening their lifespans, there exist numerous theories and discussions, some of which have already been realized. According to these theories, it is possible by placing the body of a man or an animal in sub-zero temperatures below, using a special technique to halt his life without him actually dying, and after a period, when necessary, subject him to a suitable temperature and again bring him back to his normal state. They were not overcome by an ordinary sleep, brothers and sisters. Rather, they slept in a manner that made them resemble a dead person, with their eyes kept open. Thank you for listening and hope we were able to scientifically show you that the story of the men of the cave is not a myth and it is a reality. Thank you for listening. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com.
We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah.